It's Monday, April 14th, and time for WQXR's Washington Report. Joining us now, as he does every week, is David Sanger from the New York Times. David, good morning.
Morning, Richard.
So, David, the situation in eastern Ukraine continues to worsen with pro-Russian groups taking over a police station and shooting at cars, and the Ukrainian government trying, not very successfully, mind you, to reassert some authority. What are the chances that Vladimir Putin will use these events now as a pretext to send in troops?
Well, the big question, Richard, is he setting up these events in order to make an excuse for doing an invasion of at least a limited part of eastern Ukraine? Or is he simply trying to sow so much chaos that the Ukrainian government looks incompetent and appears unable to govern its own space? And the answer may be that he himself doesn't know yet. The countervailing view, and I think one that I'm increasingly subscribing to, is that Putin doesn't want to own many of the problems of Ukraine. He wants them to be a pliant government, but he may not want to actually occupy big parts of the country and bring upon him all of the international condemnation and potential sanctions that would result.
In Sunday's paper, David, you wrote that the emergence of the Heartbleed bug, which sends so many people off to reset their computer passwords last week, was kind of a test of the Obama administration's policy and what the National Security Agency is supposed to do when it finds software flaws. What is that policy?
Well, until recently, we've had no idea what the policy is, Richard, and the White House hasn't said. They're not terribly public when it comes to the question of how they deal with issues of internet flaws that, on the one hand, many people want to have reported so that we can seal up security holes like this, and on the other hand, that the NSA uses to develop cyber weapons or to break encryption. And certainly they used flaws like this when they attacked Iran's nuclear facilities a number of years ago with a cyber weapon. But what we got on Friday night and more on Saturday was a general statement of principle from the White House for the first time that the NSA should have a bias toward revealing such flaws if they find them. And in the case of Heartbleed, they said they didn't see it any earlier than anybody else did. They didn't know about it until last week.
Finally, David, we saw almost all the surviving presidents pay homage to Lyndon Johnson and the Civil Rights Act last week. But for all the accolades, President Obama's aides dislike the comparisons between Johnson and the current occupant of the White House. Why is that?
You know, it was a remarkable display last week and some pretty incredible tributes and some very thoughtful comments, I thought, from President Obama, from former President Bush, from President Clinton, about the Johnson legacy. But what the White House dislikes are the comparisons between Lyndon Johnson's ability to manipulate the system, to make sure that he could gather a constituency and a vote for major projects, including many of the entitlement programs that he got going, and President Obama's difficulties in working with Congress. The point that they make is that Johnson had some historically large Democratic majorities to deal with in Congress, and it was an entirely different situation and a different time, and they're right. But it also was a reminder of the many different ways there are to approach the questions of dealing with Congress, and certainly President Obama's approach and Lyndon Johnson's are quite in contrast.
David Sanger from the New York Times. David, thanks so much.
Thank you.
That's the Washington Report on Classical 105.9 FM, WQXR.